In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. This morning's Gospel, we hear of this miraculous healing of 10 lepers. Now, as you can imagine, and probably know, leprosy was a terrible disease that at the time would cause a person to be completely ostracized and cast out. Jew or Samaritan, Greek, it didn't matter. You were untouchable. And so we see these 10 lepers that are cleansed. And Jesus tells them to go to the temple in Jerusalem and show themselves to the priests. And so having done that, 9 of them went about their way, and yet only one returned to Christ to give thanks to him. And this one wasn't even a Jew, one of Christ's own people. It was a Samaritan, who we hear over and over and over again had no dealings with the Jews. Now I'm reminded, perhaps this is a little too telling of myself, I enjoy a good TV show. I'm reminded of a common trope in many comedies where you have a character who finds him or herself in a spot of trouble, and this person, not typically being a person of prayer, often gets on their knees and prays to God, "Oh God, if you will just deliver me from this, this one thing, whatever it is they're dealing with, I promise I'll turn my life around, I'll, come to church more and be a better person and all of that." And then, they find out that the trouble is over, or they found the thing they were looking for, and they look up and say, "Never mind, I'm good." And then they go about their way. "It wasn't you, God. I took care of it," or "the universe took care of it," or something. But I'm good. And I think part of the reason why it's funny, at least for me, is because there's a good amount of truth in that. I have 4 kids, and come Christmas time, they are all too excited, obsessing over their presents. What are they going to get? They look at them, they open them, they see what they are, there's excitement, and off they go to play with it. Right? How forgetful we are. Even in our own lives, thinking that we have everything under control, or even worse, that perhaps God has abandoned us in our situation. Like the Israelites who left Egypt, first having been delivered by famine, coming to live in Egypt when they had stored up 7 years' worth of grain, and then when the Israelites were being oppressed in Egypt, God delivered them out of from under the hand of Pharaoh. Even parting the Red Sea so that they could walk on dry land and closing it up over Pharaoh's armies, keeping them safe. And this is not something that is easily forgotten. And yet, how quickly they forgot, while Moses was conversing with God on the mountain, all that God had done for them, thinking that in those days, suddenly God had abandoned them when he had never abandoned them before. It's easy to say, "Why me, God? How could you let this happen to me?" And yet it's just as easy to say, thank you, God, for blessing me in this way, showing me your mercy, love, and glory through me. Thinking of the leper, how easy would it have been, and perhaps this was on the minds of some of the nine who did not return. God, how could you let me spend so much time in pain, anguish, being cast out, filled with shame? How could you let this happen, God? And yet we see it is just as easy in the one that did return to give thanks to God and glorify him through it. So all 10 lepers were blessed. But the difference in the one is in his, and by extension our, response to the blessings that God bestows on us. Perhaps this Samaritan leper did so because, more than others, he knew that his healing was completely dependent upon the mercy of Christ. It's a blessing that he in no way felt entitled to as a member of God's chosen people. It was nothing that he felt he deserved or could expect. Now, the situation of comfort and wealth and position, these do not often cultivate an attitude of gratitude. It is often, on the contrary, those who have very little who learn to be thankful for everything, including the small blessings, and even in the face of hardships. And while those who have wealth and position often get used to their position in life, their abundance, and turn from thanksgiving to complaining, even if that abundance is reduced in the slightest. And brothers and sisters, when I say this, I'm speaking directly to my own heart, because I see this very much in my own life. When I'm forced to endure, my children complaining a little bit, I very quickly forget what a blessing they are in so many other ways. When I get a headache, or I get a cold, or whatever it may be, oh, what a trial this is for me. And it's the end of the world. And yet I fail to see all of the other blessings in my life. It's easy to think that God has simply given us our due since we're Christians with this abundant attitude. This is complete and utter nonsense. The prosperity gospel that is championed by televangelists, claiming that all God wants for us is for us to be happy. Yes, God wants us to be happy, but more than that, he wants us to be united with him. He wants us to be saved. And as we see through the scripture, salvation does not come most of the time through comfort and plenty, but through difficulty. I was having a conversation earlier. I apologize, I've departed from my notes a little bit. I was having a conversation earlier in the week with someone in the church, and we were commenting on how so many of the saints on the icons around the church, this great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, how so many of them have very emotionless and almost serious faces. And we were discussing how, well, many of the saints around us who finished the race did so in the face of persecution, asceticism, and all other manners of hardship, including martyrdom. They're giving up their own life for the sake of Christ. And while I have no doubt that there was joy in their hearts as they did so, as they endured their trials and their hardships and even martyrdom, our frail bodies tend to show the results of those hardships. Now I have to find my way back. Now we have in our church an abundance of teaching opportunities built in to our life in the church. And we have the little red prayer book. Mine happens to be black. It has a wealth of great prayers when we find ourselves in various situations. And there is a prayer for help in time of trouble. And I often find myself praying this prayer when I find myself in trouble, but then forgetting to turn the page and find that there on the next page, the prayer of thanksgiving after being delivered from a time of trouble. We have a prayer for when you're sick. And I find that I pray this often for myself and my family. And I forget to, you don't even have to turn the page. I don't have to turn the page. It's there. But I rarely get to it, the prayer of thanksgiving after recovery from sickness. We have also, and I'm sure that there's plenty of other ones. We have also in our liturgy. You know, our liturgy is a textbook for thanksgiving. In the anaphora, well, before we even get there, the high point of our liturgy, the pinnacle, is the Holy Eucharist. And that word Eucharist means thanksgiving. And in the anaphora, in preparation for the Eucharist, the priest thanks God for bringing us into being out of nothing, and for raising us up from slavery to sin into the blessed life of the heavenly kingdom. We know that God's blessings are so overwhelming that we can't name them or count them. The priest continues to pray, "For all these things we give thanks unto thee, and to thine only begotten Son, and thy Holy Spirit. For all these things of which we know and of which we know not, all of these blessings. For all of the benefits bestowed upon us, both manifest and unseen." Brothers and sisters, we are so blessed. Even in the midst of 2020, 2021, all of the craziness, we are so blessed. Let's not lose track of that. And then the textbook of thanksgiving continues. Even after we give thanks for the thanksgiving that we are about to receive, after the thanksgiving, the Eucharist, we continue to give thanks. And the priest, standing in front of the icon of Christ here, prays, "For all good, giving, and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from thee, the Father of lights. And unto thee we ascribe glory, thanksgiving, and worship." But that's not all. Even after the liturgy is over, we continue to pray and offer our thanks. While everyone is coming forward to receive the blessing with the cross, after the choir finishes the hymn, the priest exclaims, "Glory to thee, O God, glory to thee, O God, glory to thee, O God." And then the reader continues reading the prayers of thanksgiving after communion. I encourage you, if you have never stayed for this, do it. These prayers are yet another wonderful blessing from God, teaching us to be thankful. There is joy in thanksgiving. There is joy in thanksgiving. Psychologists report that just simply writing down, and my spiritual father has told me to do this often, simply write down 5 things for which you are grateful each day. And studies have found that this practice is good for your health, both mentally and physically. It's connected with lower rates of depression, anxiety, and even physical pain. This reflects the profound truth that to be a human person is by definition to be a recipient of God's blessings. The practice, the act of thanksgiving for all that God has done for us is absolutely essential for the healing of our souls, as well as for responding to all of those challenges that we meet on a daily basis. Now, following the example of that righteous man, that Samaritan leper who was cleansed, we must cultivate an abiding awareness of our dependence on the grace of God, not only for the good things in life, but for life itself. Now we find another such example in the saint commemorated today, St. Anthony the Great. He's often called the father of monastics and is a great example of the ascetic struggle. We find his life written down by St. Athanasius the Great, perhaps one of St. Athanasius' earliest writings. So St. Anthony was born in Egypt around the year 251. He was born to a Christian family, and while he was still young, his parents died, leaving him to care for his sister. And one day in church, he heard the Lord saying to the rich man in the Gospel of Matthew, "If you would be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and come and follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven." Now, Anthony, hearing this gospel reading as being spoken directly to him, went out immediately from the church, probably after the liturgy was over, and he sold and gave all of his possessions, all of the land that he inherited from his parents. There's about 300 acres of good, fruitful land. Gave this to the villagers and the poor, reserving just enough to care for his sister, and leaving his sister in the care of others. And following John the Baptist, who lived in the wilderness, and Christ, who after his baptism by John in the Jordan was tempted for 40 days in the desert, Anthony retreated to the desert and relied on God to sustain him there. Anthony, while in the desert, endured terrible, terrible temptations from the demons, tempting him with doubt, fear, hunger, lust. And in each of these cases, he turned to Christ in prayer and making the sign of the cross to defeat them. Now, the accounts of all of these, or many of these temptations, are provided in the Synaxarion that was read at Orthros, as well as in his life that was recorded by St. Athanasius. I encourage you to read them. They're quite frightening in some cases, but also quite inspiring at the simplicity of Anthony's faith and the power therein. I'll share one such account with you. Thinking that Anthony could be tempted to vanity and pride, The enemy appeared to him as a frightful looking child and declared himself to be beaten. Oh, Anthony, you've defeated me. You don't have to fear me anymore. Through your great ascetic struggles, you have defeated me. However, Anthony knew that even if that were true, it would not have been from his own efforts, but only by God that this temptation was defeated. And so again, turning to God in prayer, Anthony paid no attention to the temptations to puff himself up, thinking highly of himself and his efforts, but in humility, through the grace of God, resisted this temptation. And so, like St. Anthony, let us seek God as the source and sustainer of our life with all our being. And like the grateful leper, let us remember God's many blessings to us and return over and over again in thanksgiving. To the glory of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.